Helping students and families achieve their milestones for college readiness is important. Today, Christy Garrison and Kevin Thomas discuss Gear Up Tennessee in Jackson County. Christy and Kevin, welcome.
Thank you.
Really appreciate you letting us come out.
Yeah, glad to have you on here to talk about your program. I know that you're doing a lot, and I know that this program, we see it a lot across the state of Tennessee. I know that a lot of districts, do you know about how many districts around here are participating?
Yeah, there's six counties in the state of Tennessee that has Gear Up.
Okay.
Well, the six, I don't want to interrupt, but in the east part.
Okay.
And then you have the federal Gear Up, which I think is through Tech, and they have about four more counties, but I think there's about, four more in the West Tennessee that has Gear Up Tennessee in it. So, you know, the Gear Up Tennessee is a little separate than the Gear Up that's going through Tech right now.
Okay.
With the federal money.
Okay. And I wondered because I figured there'd be similarities. Mm-hmm. To me, having people and money invested in schools, it just sounds like a win. I know it's more complicated than that, but then overall, in my mind, when there are resources and people in the schools, you know, it's got to be beneficial. So, well, let's start and talk a little bit about you all. And so let's start with education, how you got into education. How did you end up where you are today?
Well, I started teaching in, I guess, August of 2003 at Dotson's Branch. I taught 6th, 7th, and 8th grade math, and then I've been to actually all four schools in Jackson County, taught at all four of them. And then when the Gear Up position came open, I was ready to do something different and engage more in students' real lives and not just the academic side of it. So I applied and happily accepted, and here I am.
Yeah, and a few years in. How many years in with this grant?
With this grant, actually, we're just on year two.
Okay.
It started in January, so really just a few months.
Okay. So very new. And how about you?
Oh, I got started in education through my grandfather. He was a teacher and coach, and, you know, I didn't know anything else but probably that. That's all I heard. And so I ended up going to Tech, and I didn't know that I really wanted to get into education, so I was kind of a little hard-headed and got into IT.
Okay.
And I got to coaching a little AAU with my good friend Jim Brown, and my granddad was still around in my ear about getting into teaching and coaching, and that's what I did. And I come back to Jackson County and taught 1 year, and I thought, you know, if I don't leave home now, I might not ever leave. And I went down to Bedford County, Shelbyville, taught and coached there for right at almost 20 years. And this opportunity to come back home, and my wife's from Cookeville, and so we come back to Jackson County, just finished my ninth year. So I'm beginning year 30. For me, so I've been doing it a while.
A few years. Yeah. Well, and I know that I was just at a school system this morning. We were at Clay County Schools talking to teachers, and one of the conversations we had was about how important it is to keep students who want to teach in their local school systems here. Mm-hmm. You know, because if you have a graduate and you know it's a superstar student and they love math and you think you could pull them back and bring them to the high school, what do you think about that in terms of, you know, you, especially you left and you came back? What are your thoughts on identifying those students that are great and convincing them to stay and teach in Jackson County, for example?
Well, I can tell you, even in Bedford County, we tried to do the same thing. You know, when I was there for so long, to keep kids that wanted to get into teaching back there. And it's the same thing in Jackson County now. You know, we have the TAP class, and that's kind of, you know, one of those things of trying to get kids that are interested in teaching. But I just think just being positive about it, it's a great career. It's a family-oriented career. You know, I know there's a lot more females in it than there is males. But as far as me, I couldn't ask for a better career to be around kids and raise a family with it, because I was with my daughters all the way through and off when they were off and able to go do whatever, you know, they wanted to do. And It's just a tremendous career. I think it's just a win-win for everybody. The marriage, you know, if you're married or not, and for the kids that grow up in that type of lifestyle with their parents.
Yeah.
I would add that teaching, like from your alma mater going back, you form a lot of relationships, whenever you start teaching, the relationship's already there. You know, a lot of times you went to school with their parents or know their family, know their background, and I think that helps connect teachers and students, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So there's an advantage to going back home to teach.
Yeah, and I feel like there is. I mean, that's is something that you always, and I'm from a small community in East Tennessee, you want to pull people back. You know, I mean, it's fun when that random person comes in from the big city or wherever to teach in your school, but having those hometown people that you really have those connections with, to me, it's very valuable to the students, you know, to see that level of success and professionalism and that connection that you have with those students.
It seems like in small towns, too, a lot of times when the parents know the teachers, it goes a lot smoother mm-hmm. most of the time. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll reach out more, communication's better.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, I agree. That just, as you said, I think it's great for students to see that, hey, I could be this. You know, when you're in a small town, they don't see it as much. And like she's reiterating what Christy said, and you also, just getting the family engagement. Mm-hmm. Seems like it's just a little bit easier for those smaller rural counties because they do know each other and was raised together and know everybody's background and what they come from.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So one of the questions, you'd mentioned your grandfather kind of pulling you in. I see a lot of education, a lot of families of educators is very common, probably more common than not, that you have a parent or grandparent or siblings or all that are in education. So one of the questions I always like to ask is about your favorite teacher growing up, and it could have been a parent. Somebody came in and their dad was the principal of the high school while they were there at the high school, which that might be kind of rough. So who was your favorite teacher coming up?
Well, be all right if I say two.
Sure.
Well, I have to give a shout out to Miss Barbara Brown. She was really good to me. Matter of fact, she let me come to her class twice a day when I was struggling with algebra.
Okay.
She'd come to me, and I just thought she just really reached out to me. And then I had to say Miss Patsy Lee she was the guidance counselor, but she worked with me so much on testing outside of school to try mm-hmm. to help my test scores and took a lot of special interest with me outside of school that really, really helped me.
Mm-hmm. Sometimes those things get overlooked, I think, by parents or even by the kids, you know, sometimes that get that extra time, that extra commitment. I had a high school English teacher who helped with ACT prep. Mm-hmm. And it made a huge difference. I mean, because sometimes I think English is my second language. It's hard to learn. I mean, there are things that are difficult. And so she took that time and committed. And looking back, you know, as a teacher with children and a parent, looking back, you're like, well, she came to school at 7 o'clock to do that. And she wasn't getting paid to do it. She was just mm-hmm. doing it because there was a group and we needed help. And she jumped in to do that. And I really appreciate that looking back.
100%. I look mm-hmm. back and how things could might have been different if she wouldn't have spent that time with me, mm-hmm. you know, and I always remember that.
Mm-hmm. And I had Miss Brown and Miss Lee, and they were both excellent. But I do also have two that I will mention. The first one, Miss Joan Halfacre, and she was a high school teacher, an advisor. The reason, I guess, that she stands out is because everything that was important to me at that time, whether it was prom or homecoming, she made it important to her too. So, like, you know, she knew it was a big deal for us, so it was a big deal to her too. Mm-hmm. And the other one I would say, Miss Pam Meadows, and that was in eighth grade. She taught math, and I just enjoyed her personality, everything about her. Easy to talk to.
Yeah, and that makes it fun. So influence, do those teachers influence? What do you think those teachers or who had the most influence in terms of the way that you've taught, the way that you teach in the classroom?
Yeah,
do you see some of that coming through?
It's funny because whenever I start teaching in math, and you know, and I always thought I'm like Miss Pam now. So,
yeah.
Well, I think mine a little bit, but I think I was a little bit more harder core than the other two that I had. I think I took from my granddad a little bit. He said it's always easier to start off tough. You can get, you know, it's a lot easier to get, you know, to back off a little bit. So I've kind of been raised the old school way a little bit, but mm-hmm. I've changed. Mm-hmm. But I want to say he rubbed off on me a little bit more.
Well, and speaking of the old school, so since you have been teaching quite a few years, what do you think is the biggest change since you started? I mean, a lot of things have changed, but if you could kind of pick a few things that's just dramatically different. I mean, we're still educating kids.
Still.
But things look a lot different today.
Oh, there's no doubt, even on the coaching side with me doing basketball too. Mm-hmm. Kids just, it's you know, they have to see it now, I think, before they really believe it. Used to, if you told them something in the classroom, this is the way it was. But mm-hmm. I just think everything's so much visual now that they need to see visual and see real life things going on, and that's part of this gear up that we're doing with this grant to try to expose them to those things that they can visually see and touch. I just think that's just a big difference than what it used to be when I first started.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and a big difference that I see is instead of the teacher just giving them the knowledge, telling them how to do it, they're letting the kids think more. Mm-hmm. It seems like the old traditional way, you know, they sat, listen, this is how you do it, no other way, and now it's more problem solving, analytical mm-hmm. thinking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And we did a lot more of just, this is the process. Mm-hmm. We're going to repeat it. We're going to practice it.
Yeah.
You know, over and over and over. And some of that critical thinking, I think it's, you learn differently. I think today's students learn differently. I mean, I've got children in the school system. I think they learn differently than when any of us were in school. But I think it flows. The academics, it flows different. The lessons flow different. The, you know, just mixing in the technology, which kind of come full circle with that, you mm-hmm. know, like with the cell phone policy.
Yes.
And I don't think that's a bad thing. I think it's just we've come full circle. You know, here's this device. Is it useful? Is it not useful? And for a while, you know, schools were using it. But now I think everybody has pretty much come to the agreement. It needs to be up mm-hmm. while we're teaching.
There's no doubt. I mean, people want – they want interaction going on in the classroom, mm-hmm. and the students mm-hmm. need that because I think they got away from the social aspect of school, you know, and they keep telling teachers for the last few years, well, you need to be changing every few minutes and, you know, kids dialogue back between you and them. But they're not going to do it because they've been used to on that phone and not talking as much. Mm-hmm. I do think getting that out of the classroom and doing what we're been trying to teach teachers to do for a while is get these students engaged during class is going to make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. I believe it will, for sure. Okay, more when we return about the opportunities for students in Jackson County with Christy Garrison and Kevin Thomas. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Jeremy Wendt. We're talking to Christy Garrison and Kevin Thomas today about the Gear Up program in Jackson County. So we were just talking a little bit before the break about technology and how that has changed. I'm sure that you all have come up with your policies and you're ready to address that. I know in Putnam County, there's been a lot of discussion. They've bought the magnetic pouches and that's going to be the way that they handle it. But I know all the districts are handling it a little bit differently. Have y'all sorted all that out in Jackson County?
I think so. We're basically just going to put that to the teacher. They'll have something when the kids walk in that this is where it's going to go.
Okay.
For right now.
Okay. Yeah. Well, and that's everybody's got to sort it out. You know, mm-hmm. you get the policies, you get the guidelines, and then you go from there. So let's talk a little bit about the Gear Up grant. So explain just the concept of it, what you're trying to accomplish with it, maybe a little bit about how the county got involved.
Okay. So Gear Up stands for Gaining Early Awareness and Readiness for Undergraduate Programs. And the goals are to help kids be more aware, career and college aware, and show them different career paths, try to get them interested to what's after high school, not just focused on getting a high school diploma and being done. And then also, not only that, but changing the culture of the community to more of a college-going culture. But going, it doesn't mean like going to a four-year university. It could be any kind of post-secondary with TCAT. It could be going into a career that they want, but getting the training and the certification that they need so that they can meet their full potential.
Mm-hmm. And that's something that I feel like is needed, first of all. I mean, yeah. I think students need to know that they need some kind of post-secondary something. To me, that messaging has gotten lost over the years that you got to go to college. But then, if you don't define, I mean, something post-secondary, whether it's TCAT or community college or mm-hmm. university or some kind of training, you need something beyond high school. I mean, high school is a foundation, but it's not sufficient for a decent career along the way.
So part of our jobs, our services would be taking kids to career fairs, getting guest speakers, taking them to a college every year, and helping students, especially low income or the ones that may not have support at home, to kind of go through all the check boxes to make sure they're on the right path.
Mm-hmm. And to me, especially with free, you know, the free opportunities with community college
yes.
and TCAT, it would be crazy not to at least do something.
Yeah, get rid of the myths of it's too expensive, can't afford it, I can't do it. Mm-hmm. Just kind of get rid of those myths, help them through the barriers that they have, and get them on the right path.
Mm-hmm. And a big part of this grant is family engagement. We're really working in with the 7th, 8th graders starting this year about getting their families involved, because we realize in our county there's going to be a bunch of first-gen kids, which means, you know, first generation going to college, and those parents need help of, you know, how, what the steps I go through, and, you know, how do I do it, and what's out there for us to help them. And that's a big part of our job too. We're on with Gear Up, and we're trying to make connections with them. We started, you know, last year during the, there at the end, and just getting these families involved and hoping to stay involved all the way through high school with their child and going further with them. Because even with this grant, we're going to follow those kids that go their first year of college. Because, again, that's the, when they drop out the most. You know, the statistics tell you that, you know, a lot of people drop out that first year, and we're going to be there for them and have them somebody to talk to and mentor and try to help them even through that first year.
Mm-hmm. And maybe explain that a little bit for the listeners, because I know that the way the grant is set up, it's not like you're taking a person, you know, you're not in high school serving the entire population every day. I mean, I know you end up serving the population, but you're really focused in on some smaller groups that you're going to stay with and follow through their career,
yeah,
correct?
So our cohort groups right now are in 7th and 8th grade this year, mm-hmm. and then we work with seniors every single year.
Okay.
So, but that 7th and 8th grade cohort group, the plan is to see the most gains from them just by following them through mm-hmm. every year, and then finding the percentage of students that may need the extra tutoring or may need comprehensive mentoring. And then with family engagement,
the next thing is, you know, when she talks about the tutoring and the mentoring, the family engagement is we're like trying to teach them at the same time with the parents, you know, and mm-hmm. we have the Tennessee Reconnect. Mm-hmm. is even getting involved with trying to help parents if they want to go back to school, mm-hmm. you know. And then we have the, I think it's a 529, I can't remember, but there's some, I'm just now finding out some of this stuff that, I mean, the parents can put in, say, if they put in 400, the state's going to match that up to 1,200. And that could start 7th, 8th grade of saving 1,200 a year, and the parents cost them 400 a year. Mm-hmm. Then the high school, you know, they get through, they're going to have a sufficient little fund of money there mm-hmm. to use to help them out. There's just so many things that Christy and I are learning with this grant. The first thing, that what opportunities are out there. And that's just hard for school if they don't have people like she and I or a grant going on. I mean, teachers just don't have time to go and find out those things. Counselors, and it's hard for them because they have everybody, mm-hmm. you know. So we really get to really work with that 7th, 8th grade and that senior class. But we're hoping to change that culture through at Jackson County to make it to where people understand, hey, this can't – it takes more than just a couple. You know, it's going to take the whole culture to change for everybody to help everybody.
Mm-hmm. I remember what I was going to say now
yeah.
about the family engagement. We have different representatives there from different colleges or like from the Tennessee Reconnect. And even if it's just to, you know, plant that seed, then get them thinking about it, have we have Tennessee Stars, you know, information, but also to help them with college admission process or applications and career pathways. Mm-hmm. You know, just to have those resources there in case they want to just drop by and ask. And they might not the first year or the second year, but eventually they'll start thinking about it.
Mm-hmm. And really bringing those resources, again, you know, coming from a small school myself, there are things you just don't know. Because you don't know.
That's
right. I mean, you've just never had that exposure to, you know, before I walked on a university campus. I mean, you don't understand it. It's kind of like traveling, you know, until mm-hmm. you go somewhere, you don't have a clue. One of the ag teachers that I interviewed, we were talking to, they had taken their students to the national finals, some of the ag finals, and some of those students got on an escalator for the first time.
Wow.
I mean, they had never been mm-hmm. on an escalator, you know, and so how can you even expect someone to understand what a TCAT looks like or a university or a community college if it's, you know, the parents have never spent any time there and it's just not, you know, that exposure is not there at all. And so I appreciate that with the grant, you know, just having that objective.
Oh, it is. I told teachers this morning, we're just so fortunate to live in the state of Tennessee. Tennessee is really trying to be the first one to do a lot of things. Like the Gear Up grants are different all across the country, and people are envious of the state of Tennessee with their state and federal Gear Up, because we are getting to do a lot of things that other states don't get to do. And that's like having Christy and I in the school, working with these kids and helping teachers every day. There's some grants that they don't have that to let them come into school. There's some people having to match the money from the district, and we don't have the match that the district's having to come up with a sufficient amount of funds. So Tennessee is just really, really fortunate to have what we have right now with trying to help students, and I'm just glad to be a part of it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's take a short break, and then we'll come back and talk a little bit more about how the Gear Up grant is impacting the students in Jackson County. Welcome back. Talking today with Christy Garrison and Kevin Thomas about the Gear Up grant in Jackson County specifically. So a few of the things that we've talked about, I know that you have lots of partnerships, and I know there are different Gear Up grants. So I know with Tennessee Tech's recent Gear Up grant, have there been opportunities to work together to talk about some of the things that work? Have you had any conversations?
Well, we have talked to Derek Potter, who's part of the Tennessee Tech Gear Up, and he is on our steering committee. So, okay. And we have talked to them about doing like summer academic programs or some of our youth summits, we've worked with the STEM Center and arranged, you know, trips to take some kids to and tour the campus.
Mm-hmm. It seems like there would be opportunities, you know, along the way as Tech gets into their grant and you kind of, you know, settle into yours. Seems like there'd be opportunities to.
Well,
you know,
we did think that a little bit, and we met with Frank Tittle. I think I met him out in San Francisco. We went to the conference, and he is just so open to helping us. But they can't spend their money on our kids, and we can't spend our money on their kids. Mm-hmm. So that kind of makes it tough. But he has just reached out and said, hey, anything I can do, if you want to come up here and bring them, say, the Department of Education, you got kids thinking about being a teacher, I can set you up, and this will be a personalized. This won't just be a tour and seeing a building. Mm-hmm. You know, there is no doubt he and Mr. Potter are going to be tremendous help to Christy and I over the next few years doing this grant.
Mm-hmm. Have you ran into any barriers like that? Because to me it seems like from the university side, from TCAT, from community college, it just seems like a no-brainer. I mean, it just seems like such a logical thing to do. What do you all see kind of as barriers to getting those kids out of Jackson County and into a TCAT for a visit? Or, I mean, do you have enough funding with the grant to take care of those things? You know, can you get enough bus drivers? What are you kind of struggling with in terms of the planning?
Well, I'll just be honest with you. I think we're backed 100% at Jackson County about getting these kids. I drive one bus, so we're down to getting one more bus driver if we need it. But if we can take them, I can drive the bus. I think from our director of schools down to our principals, down to our teachers are behind us. If we need to take our kids somewhere, I think we're going to be able to do it. I don't see any barriers there. And I'll be honest with you, every time we've reached out to Tech or TCAT or Vol State, it's been, hey, when do you want to come? What time? You know, Vol State opened their doors for us this summer to bring a group of kids. There weren't any students there, and had a teacher or two come and speak with them. So I just think the whole Upper Cumberland, you know, all the schools that we have involved are just great and wanting to get those kids, you know, there to show them what they have to offer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I know each time we have visited with Vol State and with Tennessee Tech, they've offered to feed our kids and, you know, just really help make it a great experience and let them know we want you here. Mm-hmm. So that's been very positive and good for them to see.
Yeah. How receptive have the teachers been to, you know, to giving up that time or to helping you work through? Because I know that in academic time is important time, and I'm sure the teachers see it. Has there been collaboration with teachers who have a connection to get you somewhere, or are they good with, you know, letting the kids make up the time when they miss class?
Well, we're pretty smart. You know, she's been in the classroom a long time. Christy's a math teacher, and I've been out of the classroom for a little while. But, you know, we really watch what we're doing, scheduling trips along with the calendar at school for sure. We're not going to schedule things when there's really a lot coming up and the pressure with testing and that kind of thing. So we really work with the teachers trying to do that. And the colleges are kind of the same way. So that collaboration with the teachers is ongoing about when, because there are some times that they'll come to us and say, hey, we're studying this. You know, do you have anybody that might could come and help with this? And so there, it kind of goes both ways. So right now, again, like I said, in Jackson County, we hadn't had any barriers whatsoever about, you know, when we need to take kids, because they know that when we're going to take them, it's, you know, it's meaningful. They're going to get an experience out of it. And I think they know education-wise, that's probably one of the best things they could have done that day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I feel like we've been very supported with the teachers. And it's like they want to help us. It seems like every time we've done an educator PD with them or orientation just to tell them about gear up, we would have them come up after it's over, several, and, you know, with ideas or asking questions. So I feel like they're behind us. They're supporting it, and they are glad that we have it.
Yeah. And to me, having the resource in the school is such a huge deal. Because, you know, the teachers have so much on them these days, it's hard to say, do one more thing. You know, we'd like the seventh graders to do some career exploration and tack that on to the math teacher's seventh grade curriculum. You know, you would get pushback if that were the case.
That's right. And that's what we've told them. We're not asking, we're not putting anything on you, just kind of maybe weave in what you're already doing, a career, or just, you know, what are you doing after high school? Just, you know, throwing that in there, but not giving them extra things to do, because we know their plates are full, the load is heavy.
Yeah. So what does that look like with, so I asked that question, I mentioned career exploration software, for example, but what does that look like for those seventh and eighth graders if they're not on a field trip to Tennessee Tech? What do you have available in terms of resources in the schools that you share with them to get exposure to careers?
So we just this year purchased a curriculum from Career and College Clubs, and it has many lesson plans and activities that we are going to do with the kids, and all of it is, you know, kind of based on getting them thinking about colleges and careers, but it would be done through like their CTE classes or rotation, or they may just a small group come out to us after lunch one day.
Okay. Have you clicked through it? What does it look like? I mean, I'm interested because,
well, it's pretty new.
Yeah.
Thinking, I just got the username and password.
Okay. Okay. Just thinking of myself, you know, you think about a seventh grader sitting in a classroom and, you know, I just want to be an influencer. You know, I just want to be on YouTube. Well, you know, what do they know and they don't know?
Yeah.
Trying to have those conversations is interesting to me.
Well, and part of the grant is we do have those one-on-ones with every single student every year. And it's just a lot of questions on getting them thinking about, what do you want to do? What's the, you know, what's your dream job if you could have one? So I think those one-on-ones really get them thinking and talking about it and asking questions. So,
Oh, it does, because a lot of them answer, well, I want to be what my mom or dad, they're doing this, or I have an aunt doing this, you know. And then you have some kids that just come up and they've seen something on TV that, hey, I think that would be interesting or cool. And, well, we're there to help show them what that entails. Mm-hmm. You know, what are you schooling you have to be that and that kind of thing. So I've used it two or three times. I had this one little girl, she wanted to be an ultrasound technician, and I just asked her, I said, well, what made you come up with that? She said, because I seen it on TV, and she said, I thought that would be so neat to do. You know, I would love that job. And so, you know, our job is to try to help her, you know, if that's what she's wanting to do. And that was in the seventh grade. So, you know, hopefully when we meet with her this time, this school year, maybe she's wanting to see the same thing, we can kind of get into it a little bit more.
Sure, yeah, and dig in to me, and then hopefully – you know, get them on a path, kind of pick something to stick with and work towards. And we know they shift. I mean, some days I still think I'm trying to figure out what I want to do when I grow up. But I think, you know, having the kids just know, I always kind of joked that when they came, when people talked about being an engineer, I thought they were talking about driving a train. I mean, I just literally early on had no concept, no exposure again to those careers. I understand it now. And my son does that, but it's, you know, it's something to me, it's so important having that resource available, having you all available in the school, just to pull that responsibility off of the counselor and off of that classroom teacher, to me makes such a huge difference.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, yeah. And the counselors, we're going to be working very close with the school counselors and trying to work together with them. You know, we don't want to do their job, but we want to work together. And we've got some awesome school counselors there at Jackson County, and we've already met with them. And here in September, we're going to a SCALE conference for counselors and you know, just trying to get them staying up to date what's going on. But we have some young ones. We have one that's at one of our middle schools. This will be her first year. You know, she's worked some intern stuff. And then we have the one at the high school that come over from the middle school, which I think is a plus because she's going to know a lot of those kids as they come through. Mm-hmm. So we're just excited about the people that we have going to work along with us.
Yeah. So how long does this project run?
It's 6.5 years in total.
Okay. So what's out there? Because I know you're following, you're figuring out, you're kind of launching. You're kind of still in the early launch and figure out what you're doing. But what are you thinking down the road, long term? Or I guess, let me make that more specific. What do you hope to accomplish specifically by the end of the grant?
Well, we want to increase our rate of students doing post-secondary enrollment, increase our number of students that apply for Tennessee Promise. We want that to be higher.
Well, and FAFSA for us, I'll just be honest with you. Mm-hmm. We had 64% last year. That's unacceptable. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to be a lot better, and we want to improve that all the way through. We're here for the tutoring, helping with ACT prep one of these days. Our ACT score, I think the state average of what I got back was 19.2. We were 18.6. We want to see that improve. You know, that's what we're here to do. It's going to take a little bit of time, but we know that it's attainable. Mm-hmm. You know, our graduation rate, of course, we want to – I think we're around the 84, 86 – I can't – somewhere I think is 84, you know. There's a lot of factors that go into the graduation rate, but we would like to get that up to maybe the 90s, you know. So all those things, you know, we say we're starting early, but education starts so early. You know, this cohort we're doing with the 7th, 8th grade, we're hoping implementing this tutoring and mentoring and family engagement that you can kind of see these things change. And while we're doing that, the classes up in front of them, we're still going to be working with some.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you get a senior group each year, we're hoping those are the type of things, the numbers we're wanting to see change in Jackson County.
Mm-hmm. And then also the sustainability. After the grant is over, we want the impact to remain in the county and it to continue even after the grant's over. We don't want to just stop it there. Hoping it'll just, you know, futures.
Can continue. And sometimes that can be a hard discussion. I know with the school board, when it comes down to budgeting, you know, just knowing that things can be sustainable.
Yeah.
So it's a good goal for that.
Yeah. And teacher, I think us helping – like we're learning a lot, but also like the teacher awareness of letting them know what all's out there for them, then they can communicate that, and that will help with the sustainability, you know, after the grant is gone.
Yeah.
And they're trying to work with them on the budget side of it, of, you know, one of us, you know, it's pretty well in the grant. You have to agree to pay a certain percentage this year of one employee, and then the next year it goes up a little bit. By the end of the grant, the district should be paying for one position. You know, to help out with these things and hoping that that's changed with the culture. I just think the state's got a great way of setting it up, you know, to try to help with sustainability. They're not just looking at those 7th, 8th graders, those seniors. They really want to see this across the board, across the whole state one of these days. And that's what really we're trying to do is show, hey, this really works. Everybody needs to be doing it.
And I feel like y'all are on a pathway for success, so it's exciting.
It is, and we're great colleagues, and we're neighbors, so we're just
we work well together. Yeah.
That's good. Well, I know it's a busy time of year, and I appreciate y'all coming out. It's nice to meet you. And thanks for coming out to chat about the program.
Well, thank you for having us. Enjoyed it.
Thank you. I really appreciate it. Nice to meet you.
Thank you.